for a Moony Tuesday. Let's say hi to Morris Misolowski in Melbs. How are you?
Very good. Has the moon got to you and you've forgotten where you are?
I'll tell you one thing I've noticed. The only thing I've noticed so far, and there's probably a reason for that, is the tides are very high today. Like, the ramp onto the ferry was going 45 degrees upwards and you usually go down.
Which is pretty much associated with a full moon, isn't it?
I think it's probably got something to do with it, yeah. Anyway, anything going on of that nature that you know of? I'm sure there is up in Chinatown and stuff.
I don't know, to be truthful, if there's anything happening down here. I know there's been a lot in the press about mooncakes, but that's about food.
Well, loosely, Morris is going to do all things moony today. Last week, I think it was last week, we talked about the new Apple toys. I wonder if there's anything to add to that. I wonder what the vibe is. Basically, the vibe I've been getting about the 16 is expensive, meh.
Sales are down, down, and Apple shares have gone down because of it. Where we're at.
I'm glad I asked you about that. Is it what I said last week where people are sort of pre-generationally buying? You know what I mean? They go for a 15 now or something.
They're over it pretty much. The churn that we used to have, with churn being every year you had to have it, has long gone. I mean, that left 10 years ago or so. COVID really killed it off. Yeah. And now most people are buying because the last beast is on its last legs.
Not because must have. That's good.
No, it's rare. I mean, of course, there are a great number of people that still buy because must have. But the vast majority of mere mortals like us are buying because the last one's on its last legs, or you're sick of it, or it's broken, or something.
That's legit. Yeah. I mean, do you think that Gen Younger isn't too fussed about all of the AI stuff?
Yeah, they really don't care all that much. They don't care about the mobile phone. I know that sounds strange. They love using it. They wouldn't be without one. Mm. But they don't need to have the latest, greatest, newest one because they can make the old one sing and dance still.
Is it also because the stuff that Apple is saying that they're putting into this new one isn't kind of tangible stuff? It's like, oh, it's got a bit of AI there. Yeah, good. Next.
It's catch-up. It's pretty much catch-up, Phil. That's what it is. There's nothing earth-shattering, which is how we started our report last week. I knew it wasn't going to be, not because I knew, but because, you know, there wasn't any real scuttlebutt of something incredibly wonderful different on the horizon. It was a really good, serious attempt at catch-up, being to Android and other phones around. There are a couple of new innovations in there. It's a good, solid phone. Take nothing away from the iPhone, but nothing that makes you want to write home or run out and buy one, unless, of course, you're that type of person or you have to.
Yeah, is there a scientific term for when development kind of plateaus? It's like it cannot really do too much more.
No, I'm sure there is. I think this one has plateaued. It will take a while. They're claiming the next one, which I said about this one, would be revolutionary and evolutionary. We have yet to see
they're
it. I
think Apple overcooking it with the rhetoric.
They always are. Not the only, because Apple is a huge company. Having said that, Samsung still outsells them. You know, we should put it into context. Samsung phones around the world still outsell Apple. You know, hands down, all critics, all research tells you that.
That's news to me. Why? Simply put, why?
Android. Simply, it's the best Android that you can buy, I think. I mean, that I shouldn't say that. I believe it's the best Android you can buy, and I've tried a few others.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah. So, because it has all the toys, it's uber expensive. It's the iPhone equivalent, kind of. You know, if you're not going to buy the iPhone, which is an example of the top end, all the new toys, everything that songs and dances, you'll normally go to a Samsung to get the equivalent of it. And the Android, Samsung and all the others, because Google's phone is great, there's Oppo, there's a whole lot of other phones in the Android, and there's a lot more in that space too, because the licenses are easier to get. You know, it's much easier to work with Android than the lock system of the Apple. I mean, Apple's the only one, of course, that can grow apples. Everybody else can't. they have to grow pears and oranges and everything else, yeah?
Yep.
So that's why there's so much on the other side of it, why so many more people use the other side of it, because it's an Apple or something else is the choice. Mm. And Samsung, much like the others, but because it is such an expensive beast, it can afford to put in the new bells and whistles, and it often is the first to do something in a mass device.
I'm glad I asked you about that, because I knew there would be a little bit of knock-on a week later, and people aren't going nuts, according to you.
Well, they're not according to me, according to the stats. I was reading stats last week and said that Apple shares have fallen. Not dramatically, nothing to worry about. You know, don't start selling or doing anything or giving financial advice. But as a result of it not being as spectacular as people remember in the past, some people are, you know, kind of saying, well, maybe I should get out of it. Apple will do something incredible, but it will take a while. I read this morning an article, which I've read a few of in the past couple of months, saying that Apple is working on a bot, a little robot thing that sits on a bench. So think of now the devices they have, the smartphone type, the smart devices, I should say. It is apparent because Apple never announces anything in advance. This is people talking about them. Those people, some of which are in the, are usually in the know and they usually turn out to be correct eventually, are saying that Apple is working on a desktop device which is like a little robot. It's not going to run around. It'll sit still. But it'll have a cute little
hand. You have to be near a desk for doing that, and that sort of negates the last 10 years.
Well, you can yell at it because I have smart speakers and smart things all over the place, and I yell at them. I'm not actually physically near them in any way. But you're right. It does. But a lot of people go back to the whatever it is, watch and do stuff. Anyway, if it does that, I think that will be a game changer, not because no one else is doing it, but as always, because Apple is so beautiful at advertising and making us want something.
Apart from when it comes to crushing pianos and creative stuff with a great big stomper, that was a bit of a faux pas, wasn't it?
It was. You've never forgiven them for that. That Jack film.
Come on, a teenage. Anyway, let's move on, Morris.
Anyway,
in your work recently. Not so recently. How has the moon featured? We're talking mining and colonization and all sorts of fun stuff like that. And solar power.
And actually, and strangely enough, it does.
Power. Yeah.
It does. Space in general now, that being the thing above us, not around us, but the thing above us, is really big business at the moment. Elon Musk, and we don't use his name too lightly and too often, Elon Musk has, God bless him, really kicked it along by talking about it all the time. Of course, there are all sorts of other things. Boeing's in there and wish they weren't because of all the catastrophes they've had lately. But there are all sorts. NASA's even gone back in a big way, in a different way. There are lots of conversations about space, lots of companies and corporations being built around space tech, and lots of conversations now because it's becoming more possible about what we might do when we go out there. And the moon, of course, is our first port of call because it's closest to Earth. We've been there. We've kind of kicked the tires around there, and we think we might be able to do something interesting up there.
Yeah.
One of the things that fascinates
me, apart from just going there, which is, it's wonderful, amazing, but it's been done.
It's been done and hasn't been done for a very long time, though. The thing that always gets me, and has ever since being a child, which I still think I am, is who owns the moon? I mean, we're all landing on it as if we own it.
Who owns the Earth? We're all landing on this as though we own it.
Yeah, but if I was to come to China or I was to come to, to the UK, I need a visa now to get into the UK.
It puts it all in perspective, rather, doesn't it, Morris?
Yeah, it does, but we all seem to go to the moon as if everybody owns it and everyone tries to and they plant their flans on it. Now, that's not a side comment. That's a comment about if I am, me euphemistically, if I'm going to go there and I'm going to mine it or I'm going to put a solar panel or something up on it, am I paying rights for that? Do I have the right to do it?
Well,
do I own the space that my little whatever is sitting on?
Surely the answer is no. I mean, they're just behaving the way they do on Earth, and it's chalk and
oranges. Yeah, pretty much. Isn't it? It's like colonisation in the old days. It truly, truly is. I actually wrote an article about that many years ago. Well, I think space is the next colonisation. It's the next France and Spain and Italy and every other country, England, God bless them, who literally just decided something was theirs and they took it.
Well,
didn't matter who and what was there.
Of course.
But that's a political comment for another day.
But it depends what they think they can get from the moon.
Yeah. So there are lots of things that might be possible. Might be possible. One is the, for whatever reason, the desire that a number of people have to leave this planet and go and live somewhere else.
Ooh.
Now, that's growing in interest. Mars, again, is being promoted very heavily as being a place that some people might be able to live on 10, 15, 20 years from now. Of course, that's going to require a whole lot of structure, infrastructure, building, all sorts. We can't just land there and, pull up a little lanai and lie down on it. But they're claiming it'll be possible. And there are people that are claiming that the moon would be even sooner than that because, again, we know so much more about it. And it's a tad closer. I don't know what we would do there, Phil. I mean,
let me pop something in here. Jared today is toeier than a Roman sandal, but he's just sent me something really interesting. It says a UN agreement from 1967 says no nation can own the moon. Instead, the fantastically named Outer Space Treaty says it belongs to everyone. Well, that's questionable for starters, but and that any exploration has to be carried out for the benefit of all humankind and in the interests of all nations. Oh, well, I'm glad we sorted that out.
So, Phil, does the one you're reading have really, really big lines between each word? Because I absolutely agree. And it's 100% right. That's exactly what it says. But it has no authority, no teeth.
Everyone
There's no law that you can do. I mean, there's nothing. So absolutely right. That was the charter. The moon is going to be used for everybody, by everybody, for wonderfulness. And nothing else shall ever be said and done for it or by it.
It belongs to everyone, this says. I mean, this is humankind on Earth overstepping.
Look, I think the statement had to be made. And it had to be made because, remember, when it was written, there was this big Russia-America thing about who was going to get to there first, and the Soviets were sending cosmonauts up all the time, and the Americans were trying to send cosmonauts up, and they sent monkeys and dogs and all kinds of stuff. And again, not off topic, but that was exactly what it was. This statement came out in that genre, in that time.
You know what the sad reality is, Morris? Stuff like this just goes to prove how absolutely, truly pathetic we are.
Yeah. I mean, we can't even manage our own, as you said, we can't manage this land that we're on at the moment, let alone doing something else. But going back to what we might use it for. So there is the notion that we might live there. And the reason we might live there, for me, thinking about why people would want to do it, would be for commercial reasons. I really can't see why a great number of people.
Imagine it's for the beaches.
I mean, I don't think you'd retire off to like Miami or somewhere, you know. It just wouldn't be the same. But we would. It is absolutely possible that we would do moon mining. So the moon has incredible resources, all of which should be left alone. So I'm saying that, but I'm still telling you what we might use it for. Mm-hmm. Let's not go and touch any of it. But we think that there's things like helium-3, there's rare metals. Of course, there would absolutely be metals and things up there.
Are we still fascinated by the moon in general?
Oh, we are. Okay. There would be all sorts of things that we could use there. Now, the purpose of doing that has been, I actually have spent quite a bit of time a few years back with a few companies in this space, pun intended. And the purpose for mining was, because I kept asking, it's got to be expensive if we send a truck up there. Now, this was euphemistic, yeah? If we send a truck up there and we drove it back here, it would have to be expensive. And they all said the purpose would be almost universally never to bring it back to Earth, but to use it in space for space. So they believe that they would be able to mine in space, and using technology we don't yet have, although getting closer to AI and robotics, they would then be able to turn that into the homes, the spaceships, the water, and everything else that we might need in space. So it was cheaper and easier than taking it from Earth to somewhere else, actually dig it up, use it, and create it there. It was why most people wanted to mine, but it was worth an absolute squillion. I mean, trillions and trillions of dollars.
You know, you're talking about these vehicles. You can't help but envisage that daft-looking Cybertruck. And somebody, you've seen somebody's given it the most amazing name, the Deplorian.
I not physically, but actually there was a video I saw this week that actually took you on a tour inside of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's an unusual-looking beast.
No kidding. Hello.
And the comment that was made about it also was that it's dead quiet. I mean, the acoustics in it, when you shut the door, is the world's gone.
Yeah. So let's spend a couple of minutes not talking about greedy, horrible humans, but just.
So, what else can we talk about?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think what else there is. You know, future wise on the moon. I mean, basically, we want it because we want it.
Yeah. So, look, I think there is a reality that at some stage, it will be a while off, the people will go to the moon, there will be hotels. We saw this week the first spacewalk by a private individual, of course,
and
a billionaire.
And the point of that is.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But then again, why do we travel, Phil? I mean, the point is that we explore things that we don't have at home. Why do people, you know, climb Mount Everest? Because they can.
Yeah.
They're all noble causes that a person thinks that they want to achieve in their life.
But these guys are all gazillionaires, aren't they?
They are at the moment, but everything starts off like that. I mean, truly, everything starts off really, really expensive because they're the only ones that can afford it and think it's even worth their time and effort.
Yeah.
Eventually, when enough people cotton onto it, the price drops and drops and drops, and that'll happen here. We're seeing it with...
Back to iPhones.
We keep talking about Elon, but we see it with Elon and a whole lot of, you know, space travel that's going on at the moment. All these people are going into lower orbit.
Yeah.
Of course, they're all spending $500,000 or more to go up. That's very, very expensive. But if they're doing it now, you know, 20, 30 years from now, it could be within the realms of a number of people to do it more often. Mm. How long you would stay there, I don't know, but I know the Marriott and a whole lot of other hotels have concepts, nothing else. You know, just drawing. They certainly haven't spent money on it, but they have drawings and concepts of what moon hotels might look like, and they're fun and fascinating to look at.
Yeah.
I've certainly shown a few in my time.
Yes.
But I do believe lunar tourism will take off 20, 30 years from now for a number of people.
It's so funny, this mystical thing in the sky that once people thought had a face and they thought it was made of cheese and all sorts of stuff, is just turning into a tourist destination.
But then again, what does the rest of the world turn into? Well, I mean, we can go back. I'm drawing that analogy because there really is that human desire to be somewhere, see something, do something that we've never done before. And that's why I think, you know, Magellan and a whole lot of people got onto boats in the 15, 16, 1700s. We could have said the same thing, you know, what's out there that could possibly be of interest. But they still went and they discovered and they plundered and they did all kinds of horrible things. But again, another conversation for another day.
I wonder if
one of the more interesting ones, Phil, if I can, is solar power. That's one that I've heard a lot of in the last couple of years. There is a really strong belief that one day, again, these are all long, you know, 10, 15, 20 years plus, but one day we actually might be able to harvest solar power from the moon, because remember that in the space, there is no night. It's all day. The sun's shining constantly. Yeah. I mean, obviously, to different degrees, depending how far away, I accept that. But what they believe is that they can actually capture a lot of sun on the moon and they can beam it back to Earth.
Full on, right?
Yeah, and they might be able to create solar power for Earth, for total, because the Earth is nothing. Yeah, we've all seen that from Moon. It's really a nothing ball. You could really send it back, and you could send it across the planet. So there's been quite a lot of conversations. It can be done. It's expensive. It's wieldy. It's a long way off. But the conversations are good and robust, and it's possible. So that's an interesting purpose for it. Maybe we can have some solar power coming off the Moon that might harvest our energy for Earth. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, really, Morris is a business futurist, so it's very hard to find, you know, down the line, solid possibilities for this thing.
Most of them that I believe will come true at some point this century will be things that we use the moon for to bounce off. We at the moment have 5G. I think 7G, for instance, might come off the moon. There's a spin for you. Because if you think about now, satellites are above the Earth's orbit, and look at how effective they've been in transmitting all of our messages, all of our energy, even, you know, we're using it for all kinds of things. Imagine if we went further out to the moon, what we could create, because the coverage of the Earth is totally possible. It's much easier to beam from the moon down to Earth and cover Earth from that distance. So I think we will see communication. I think we might see energy. I think we will see mining, because it'll be easier to mine the moon and create the things I've just described from the moon rather than sending them up. AI and robots will be big time then, so we'll be able to send them to the moon, to Mars and other places. In other words, send instructions, send machines, and they'll do the work for humans up there. Yeah. So we're getting closer to seeing some possibilities of these things possibly being part of our landscape.
It's interesting, though, because it's fulfilled its use. Its current use is basically to keep our access from wobbling. I mean, that's a pretty hefty job, isn't it?
It is. And without them, we wouldn't have werewolves and we wouldn't have vampires and all the stories and science fiction that goes with it. We wouldn't have the tide, you know, all that kind of stuff. The moon's wonderful. We love it. And I always read a story to the kids. Everybody loves the moon. I mean, it's a wonderful story.
Thank you, Maurice.
We should just keep looking up, and we should keep eating cakes for it too.
I'll dig you out for another Chinese holiday. Lovely talking to you.
I think I am.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye for now.